Today's Big Brother 19 update is sponsored by TrueCar. Now, when you're looking to buy a car, you want to make sure you're getting real pricing on actual inventory. That's what you would do. Unfortunately, a lot of times, that's not the accurate information. In the Big Brother house, what you would do is you would just ask Paul, what do I pay for this new or used car? And then he would tell you, but you're not in the Big Brother house. That's why you need TrueCar. Because with TrueCar, you get the real pricing on the actual factual inventory. That's not just pricing offered by TrueCar, but pricing offered by an actual dealer, not just any old dealer, a TrueCar certified dealer. That's a carefully curated network of dealers committed to transparency and offering you a competitive market price. With TrueCar, you'll easily find the car that you want. And TrueCar will tell you what other people in your area paid for the same car you're looking for. Then you'll know what a fair price is so you can feel confident. There's over 13,000 TrueCar certified dealers nationwide, and you get to work directly with a TrueCar certified dealer contact. TrueCar users are more likely to enjoy a faster buying process as well when they connect with TrueCar certified dealers. And best of all, TrueCar users save an average of over $3,000 off MSRP. So when you're ready to buy, visit TrueCar to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features are not available in all states. Hey, good morning, everybody. What's going on? Rob Sisterino here with our live feed update for Friday, July 14th. Happy Bastille Day to both Taryn and Brent. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey. How you guys doing?
How's it going? Good.
Okay. Interesting times in the Big Brother house. Of course, spoilers are ahead because we're going to be talking about everything that happened overnight. So if you don't want to know that kind of stuff, this is your last chance to get out of here. Now, we are streaming live on the Rob is a Podcast Facebook page. And of course, we'll be talking about everything going on and taking your questions here on Facebook. So 3, 2, 1. Okay. So we talked about last night that Alex is the new HOH. So a little bit of exciting times going on. And where we left things off, Taryn, we did not know what she was planning to do in terms of the nomination. So could you walk us through the events of last night and the ultimate nominations real quick?
Well, right away, Alex was saying to the feeds, I want to make a big move here. I want to do something, which was good news for us because prior to this, her plan had been to nominate Jessica and Ramses. But this whole hinky vote situation actually got her wheels spinning. And she has the idea now to make some sort of move outside of nominating Ramses. She doesn't want to do that anymore, but she still doesn't trust Jessica and she doesn't want to rock the boat too much. So she does still want to put Jessica up. And with the help and guidance of Paul, she has landed on Dominique as the second nomination for now.
Okay. Brent, Taryn mentions the hinky votes. That was a big topic of conversation in the house last night. Could you set up what the house guests are talking about with the hinky votes?
Sure. Again, for everybody who didn't see the episode last night, Christmas out of nowhere, and also Kevin, with Paul's blessing, had voted against the majority and voted for Ramses to be evicted. I still don't know what happened with Christmas's vote. Most of the house guests do suspect Christmas as being correctly one of the two votes that they didn't know about. Obviously, Jessica also voted against Ramses in a 7-3 vote. As far as the other vote goes, there's a lot of different names being floated about. And Kevin, Mark, there's a lot of different, you know, question marks above a few different people's heads. From my point of view, Kevin is like the Roadrunner in like the Coyote movie cartoons, because you think he's going to get caught, and every week it's like, you know, beep beep, like, you know, he doesn't get caught. No one's catching him.
Yeah.
I know, right? So mostly the issue is that when Cody was getting ready to leave, Cody had a few conversations with Christmas, and then that's when Christmas left the house. Because I remember we had talked on this podcast about the fact that it was great that Cody started talking with Christmas, but then she immediately left. And so that conversation was basically worthless. Not only was it worthless, but it actually did a little bit of damage in the eyes of the other house guests, because now they're absolutely convinced that Christmas was one of the votes, which is correct. As for the other vote, that's up in the air.
Taryn, what is the likelihood that Christmas returns to the house and finds out that she's on the block? that'd be a real how do you do, right?
Yeah, it would. You know, it's certainly possible. She is very much in the eye of a lot of people. They're very certain that she is one of the Hinky votes. I don't know what she was thinking. Maybe she thought, because I'm out of the house, they'll never suspect me. But it was actually the opposite. I think they suspected her even more. She didn't really have the chance to deny the fact that she was a Hinky vote. So when she comes back into the house, she's going to find a lot of vitriol toward her. And she is, in fact, the person that would go up on the block if Dominique ends up pulling herself off, or if Jessica, I imagine, pulls herself off. And I could easily see her going home this week as well.
Okay, let's talk through these two people. Brent, I was watching where Alex was talking about, she was talking with Kevin and Whistlenut and Ramses, and they were talking about how Jessica is the one that she tried to come after me because she thought I liked her boyfriend. Everybody's like, no, Jessica doesn't matter. Who cares about Jessica? Alex is very fixated on Jessica. How did they move her off of Jessica being her primary target?
Well, I think she was always looking at other people besides Jessica. Here's the thing. She doesn't trust Jessica, and Jessica has given her no reason to trust her. Jessica hasn't even had a conversation with Alex, and Alex is the head of household. Can you believe that? It's been 12 minutes. She hasn't had a conversation with her. The main thing to remember here is that I feel like Alex, more than anything, doesn't want to be had by Jessica. And she doesn't want to be outfoxed by her. I think that would be an embarrassment to her. So she wants to keep an eye on her, and she doesn't want to make any deals with her because she's absolutely convinced that Jessica will go back to the majority alliance and say, you know, Alex tried to make a deal with me, blah, 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 blah. And then Alex will be target numero uno going into next week when she can't compete for HOH. As far as getting her off that target, like, as I said, she always had her eyes on other people. I feel like she knows that she's in a bad spot, and she knows she doesn't have the numbers, and she knows she's being used by the other side. But she also doesn't want to take a straight-on shot at them and make herself into Rachel Riley from Big Brother 12.
Yeah. Taryn, this is a little bit of a Jenga game, I feel like, that Alex is trying to play, where she's trying to pull a block out of the other side, but one that's like off the top that's not going to cause the whole tower to come down and have everybody mad at her next week. Do you feel like that Dominique is a smart target for her?
For her, potentially, but really, I see Paul as the one trying to play this Jenga game. I think that if Paul had told Alex, no, you can't do this, Alex would not be putting up one of these people. Basically, Paul gave her the blessing. In fact, Paul is the one pushing for Dominique to be the one to go up on the block. And I think this all stems from this whole, talk show she had where she asked these questions that Paul was just not comfortable with. And I do think he wants to take some sort of shot at that group. And he's already prepping people for it. He's prepping Matt and Raven to say, like, look, guys, he's even prepped Elena, saying, Elena, I think we need to turn our backs on Dominique and maybe even Mark. And Elena's told Paul, yeah, you know what? Don't tell Mark this because it would really kill him, but I trust you more than him. So if you're going to defect, I'm defecting with you. So I really see this as Paul really pushing what he wants onto Alex. And I think that he wants Dominique gone right now. I'm not sure I agree with that move for Paul, but I do think it is actually like it happens to also be good for Alex.
Brent, I'm learning so much about my strategy. If I ever go play Big Brother, I was just going to go full podcast the whole time. And now I'm going to walk that back a lot.
Well, I'm not sure if it's all Paul's doing. I mean, I'm not so sure I agree with Taryn that if Paul had said, don't do this, that she wouldn't have done it. Because it seemed like she really wanted to do it. I think the main issue was that Paul sensed that Christmas was in trouble. And Christmas is his ride or die, I feel like. So once he realized that there was no way that he could get her, Alex, to nominate Ramses, and my God, he tried. I feel like he sort of switched the target to, oh, yeah. Dom and Mark are being a little shady, and you should probably go after her. Yeah. That's from my point of view. That's what
I don't think Paul's trying to protect Christmas. I think Paul's trying to protect Kevin for the most part. I think that he was, Mark coming after Kevin really worried him. He's pushing really hard to make sure that somebody else takes the blame for this. And he sees Dominique as the only person that can really take that blame. And I think that's why he's continuing to push that. I don't think he cares about Christmas. He agreed that Christmas would be a good alternative target for after Dominique. I think that he's kind of annoyed that Christmas made that vote as well. And I do, and Alex talked a lot with Jason, who was, Jason was pushing two from their side. Do Mark and Dominique, or Matt and Dominique, you know, do, you got to do that. And Alex was saying, no. We have to trust Paul. Here's the thing about Paul. He's all about friendship. And if he goes against friendship, then he ruins his entire brand. His life will be ruined. So he'll never do it. We know we can trust Paul. We'll do what he says. He knows the game. And she was willing to be like, all right, let's take out Jessica potentially. If that's what Paul wanted, I think that she would have gone along with that. But Paul is willing to say, I'm going to try and take some people from this group. Let's make a move. Let's crack this thing up. And I think that's why she's willing to go with it.
Here's the thing. I feel like Alex's reasons are for trusting Paul, like about the friendship and the fact that he'll never break his word, total bogus.
Yeah.
But I do feel like she's getting to the right set of nominations. I know people in the chat room are like, please drag Alex. But you guys, I cannot, because I actually like these nominations. And I didn't initially. I was like, when she was talking about putting up Jessica, I was like, oh my God, please kill me. But the more I thought about it, I realized that that's what everybody around her wants her to do, because she'll get all the blame for it. And if you listen to Elena talk, Matt, David and Matt, they all agreed, if she comes after us directly, she's going up before Ramses, before Jessica next week. I mean, they all talked about it. So I do, for Alex's game, like these nominations. As a feedster, I kind of hate them, but as a player, I love these nominations because there's a lot of stuff that can happen here. Jessica could still go home. Dominique could still go home. Mark could go home. Christmas could go home. A lot of things can happen. And I feel like that with Paul's blessing, Alex can get a lot done this week.
And Brent, you make a good point about the friendship. It's such a nebulous thing that it can mean whatever he wants it to mean. He could screw everybody over and then say, friendship means always having my family's back for my friends outside the house. I got to be real for them. I got to take these bozos out of the house. That's friendship. So his brand identity is so wrapped up in friendship and doing the right thing.
Right.
That is a real misunderstanding of what's going on here in the house. Taryn, do you feel like that for Mark, this could be a bit of his Waterloo as well? That, do you feel like that he will really stick out his neck for Dominique this week and distance himself from where the power is in the house?
Yeah, I do think that this is going to be a bad week for Mark. I think that he's already very emotional. He's really taking a stand. He really thinks that Kevin was this hinky vote, and nobody else wants to believe it was Kevin. And Paul especially is really doing work to protect Kevin. And I think that if Mark continues, you know, beating this drum, then Paul is going to be like, dude, I got to get you out of here to protect Kevin. And also, if Paul is pulling Matt and Raven away, saying maybe we should evict Dominique, obviously Mark is not going to be down with that. I think he will get very upset. And, you know, who knows what Mark does, especially without Dominique to reel him back in to be loyal to Paul. And that's the thing with Paul's move right now. I don't agree with it at all. I don't like him going after Dominique right now. Dominique is very loyal to him. Paul really needs to focus on Ramses. Ramses is his biggest target by far. He really messed that up by doing this whole hinky vote thing and giving Alex an excuse to not go after Ramses. And then Jessica is somebody else who is not loyal to Paul right now. She's willing to throw people's names out. She's not going after him right now. But losing Jessica would be great because he has everybody else in his pocket. This really, I mean, I've made a lot of comparisons to Paul's game and Derek's, and this is really reminding me of when Derek was about to cut Zach for Nicole and Hayden, and that was great for them and not great for him, and then he ultimately ends up changing his mind at the last second and doing the right move for him, even though it was a bit risky at that point. And it seems like that's what Paul is doing. He's doing a wrong move for him, and I think this is his move, and he's pushing this move on Alex, but it actually is the better move for Alex and the worse move for him.
So for Paul, it would be better to get rid of Jessica, is what you're saying, Taryn?
Yeah, I think so, for sure. I mean, Ramses would be best for him, because Ramses is the only one in that house who has his number.
Yeah. Brent, I might be late to the party here on this, but I really feel like that Alex, especially following this HOH win, I could see potential like major fan favorite upside for her as being a very rootable character in this season. She's got the undercat thing going. She's literally wearing cat ears. She's winning an endurance competition. She's feisty. She's not in a showmance. That I really feel like that the sky could be the limit for Alex.
Yeah, that could definitely happen. I feel like it depends on how this week goes. If it's a bit of a yawner and Jessica goes home, I don't know that there's a lot of fandom that's going to really support that. I know nobody really wants Jessica to go home right now. Nobody really likes Jessica, but it would be just such a downer after a victorious HOH win against Elena. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I do think that she will have the the casuals out in force for her when she wins this wall competition. I think that's going to come across as very dramatic. She went toe-to-toe with Cody early on, or toe-to-toed with Cody earlier this season. So I think she could really break out soon.
So we have to think, given her HOH win and her renewed visibility on the show in the coming episodes, that she is the favorite for the Halting Hex.
Yeah, I think so. Taryn, do you agree with that?
She certainly was. I've now posted two polls. This has been a long voting process. She was leading the previous poll. Jessica had been leading the most recent poll, because people want to see this thing used, and Jessica is definitely going to use it and not for Paul. Alex would certainly use it for Paul even now. So it's not entirely set in stone, and I do think that Jessica had enough of an underdog edit in these previous episodes that it's certainly possible. But I do think that Alex does have this demeanor, the correct demeanor for an underdog, which is just like, screw everyone, I'm gonna do what I want, even though it's kind of what Paul wants. And she's feisty, she wins wall comps, it's everything that people look for in an underdog character. So if she does break out in these following episodes, I could absolutely see her regain the lead for this temptation.
And she's not super game savvy in terms of being schemey, right? But I don't think that matters in terms of overall fan appeal. I think that you sort of like thumb your nose at the conventional wisdom and just do what's right.
Right. I mean, Phantom doesn't care about that. I mean, Janelle was getting rid of James in Big Brother 6, and people were still like, yes, queen, yes. So, it doesn't matter. I think Alex is somebody, as I agree with Taryn, that she's very rootable and she's feisty, and she just, it feels like she's a little bit unfiltered. Mm-hmm. And you
like that.
I don't know. It's impossible to dislike her, I feel like.
Yeah. Okay. Let's start to get into some questions from the listeners. So go ahead and post them here on Facebook. This is a question from Jacob, who wants to know, why is Raven hiding Alex's stuff? Taryn, is this fake news or this is happening?
I believe this is fake news. What happened was, I believe it was Jessica who hid. I mean, I'm not sure myself. I don't know if Brent knows, but I believe it was Jessica that hid Alex's cat ears under the couch. And then Jason then talked to Jessica, and Jason was really pushing for Jessica to not be on the block. He wants to work with Jessica, but Alex doesn't like Jessica. Alex is still very upset about the fact that Jessica was jealous that Cody was hitting on Alex, and that there's a lot of, still like bad feelings there still. So Jason was like, Jessica, did you do this? Did you hide these cat ears? And Jessica was like, no, that was Raven. Raven did this. And then so, Jason then told Alex, like, Jessica says it was Raven. Alex is like, yeah, but that's coming from Jessica. Alex asked a bunch of other people, and everyone else said, oh, no, it was definitely Jessica. So I'm not sure myself, but most people seem to think it was Jessica.
Okay, now, Brent, Alex Jackson wants to know, who took Josh's pillow, Cody or Jessica?
That was definitely Cody and Jessica.
Boy.
They were sort of laughing it up in their room together, and they were going to just drop it in the middle of the living room at some point, but then there were people around, so they decided against it, and this is petty. Like, well, what is this?
To be fair, Brent, not the worst thing to be done to somebody's pillow in the Big Brother house. Look.
True story. Yeah.
Okay. Den Dollar. John wants to know, well, let's say the final block is Jess versus Dominique. Who goes home and how would that affect Cody coming back into the house? I think that you would imagine Cody would be the prohibitive favorite to beat either of those in the battle back, assuming he beats his first round matchup. But Taryn, I know it's early to look at the vote count. Do you have a sense of who would go home?
I have to right now put my faith in Paul and say if Paul wants Dominique to go home, he will be able to swing that. That said, I think it's going to be a hard sell to Matt and Raven to turn on their group already. But I think if anyone is capable of doing it right now, it is Paul. So if Paul decides if Paul doesn't change his mind and, come to his senses like Derek did near the end of the week, then I do think we'll ultimately see Dominique go. I think Paul controls the vote.
Speaking of Matt and Raven, Brent, is Matt the most invisible person in the house at this point?
Possibly. I was going to tweet a picture of him. My friend on Twitter, Shay Jenkins.
Is he in the hospital or he's still there?
Yeah, she tweets pictures of, like, just reminding you that this is actually a person that's on the show right now. But, I don't know. It's amazing to me. He's so personable and so nice and sweet and has a great smile, and he's never on the episode. So, but in the house, he's kind of like that, too. I mean, he just doesn't cause any drama, you know. I mean, I can't stand people like this.
Yeah. I feel like he's eating a lot of cereal. I feel like I see him like he's like a bowl.
Always.
He's like Tony the Tiger somehow in the house. All right. This is a question from Brett. If Cameron comes back into the house, do you think he'll have a hard time blending in? I mean, the guy was literally there for what, 12 hours, Taryn?
They don't remember his name. Yeah. They've called him Carmen. His picture is not on the memory wall. Like, I don't think they know what he looks like. They don't know his name. This is just like Allison coming in on Big Brother Canada 2 as a new player. They'll call him the new guy. Like, they have no idea. And I mean, he'll have to make all sorts of new relationships. It'll be very strange.
I think it'll be very fun, actually.
Yeah.
I don't feel like anyone will come for him. He'll be like a new toy in the Big Brother house. Like, oh, we got new stories, new person, new stuff to talk about. Like, that's cool. Like, there's no way. And there's already going to be friction between pre-existing people in the house. I feel like if Cameron walked back into the house, he'd be there for a good few weeks.
Yeah. So just in terms of the power rankings of what we want to see. So Cody is number one in the power rankings to have him come back. Number two, let's say, is Jessica / Dominique to go out, pull the Johnny Mac, and then come right back in. Three is Cameron, and then big gap. Then Jillian coming back is worst case scenario, right?
Who's
that? Definitely.
We'll take Carmen way over.
I'm team Carmen. I'm all for Carmen. I want Cameron to come back. I feel like that would be the most fun. I understand. Like, I think that that Cody is a very interesting character for sure. I like his diary rooms. I think that he's got the underdog thing going for him. But I do think that if he comes back, it'll either be a revolving door or he'll just jump on the Paul train. And I'm not sure we're going to see the excitement that we want to if he does come back. Whereas I do think that Cameron could potentially do some interesting things as an unknown.
Well, hold on a second. Let me just float this out there. So if Dominique is the one to go home and they're able to, the other side end up sort of like, okay, they keep Jessica. Although I feel like if the bigger showman side of the house doesn't vote out Jessica, I feel like that she has a better chance to fold back in with them. But there is some pre-existing relationship between Cody and Alex. Could you see him, Taryn, coming back in and potentially boosting that other side?
I think the problem is that nobody really trusts Cody. I mean, even Alex doesn't really want to work with Jessica. So if Cody comes back and works with Jessica, there's still going to be that risk.
How about this? Jim Manning wants to ask, is Cody's upside Jessica leaving and then starting over? Brent, could this be potentially best case scenario for Cody?
Wow.
Jessica goes out. He comes in. He's free to work with Alex in that side of the house now.
I guess I would rather Cody go home and lose Battle of the Block and Jessica stay in the house and grow her game like Lisa on Big Brother 3. So I don't know if I'm really
that's
here for
not,
that.
That's what? Fan fiction. That's not happening.
What? I mean, I feel like she could. What? You're
Lisa
talking about
Donahue,
Cameron coming
she
back
is
in the
not.
House?
But I Please. Do I do feel like that, you know, Brendan and Rachel back in Big Brother 12, they were like, caught up in this whole like feud in the house. And then at the point where Rachel was out, Brendan was able to do a good job like reintegrating with those guys. Like, he was able to sort of like get under the radar for a couple of weeks. I wonder if Cody potentially could see the game differently, not in a showmance.
I think that's definitely possible. And I do think that if Jessica was in the battle back, I think that I don't think Cody would throw it to her. I think she would say, you need to go back in. You have a better shot
than me. Alpha males don't throw challenges, Taryn.
Exactly.
That's what Ramsey should have said. Like, hey, alpha males don't throw challenges.
I'm an alpha.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jessica has said, like, you know what? This is a dumb game anyway. I live across the street. Like, it's no skin off my back if I go home. I think she will say to Cody, like, you take this, you have a better shot. And Cody will go back in. And I do think if he goes back in alone without Jessica, that's when he can start being seen as like, oh, I can pick him up as a piece to be used in this
yawning.
Game.
You're yawning, Brent? That would be too boring for you?
I'm sorry. I think it would be more interesting with Jessica in the house and seeing like a power couple trying to reintegrate get into the game from what they were before.
They're just going to be targeted right away.
I understand why nobody wants to see the Jody cam again, because I'm certainly sick of it, but I think it would be interesting to have both them in the house again.
And I mean, like, we saw what happens when they're both in the house with a target on their back. We get a very boring week where we just wait until Cody leaves again.
Both John and Jeremy make an interesting point about, we need Cody to get to Zingbot. That is the stuff that dreams are made of. Yeah, that would be really fantastic when Cody is just like silently like steaming at the Zingbot. Zingbot is going to be merciless for Cody.
Dumb robot came into the house like such a beta.
It's a beta robot.
Unbelievable. Making all sorts of victim
this
noises.
This robot is still in beta. Yeah. Okay, Taryn likes a robot joke. This is Christina says 100% agree. Taryn, Brent, power couple, all they need to do is separate and make out. Awful feeds.
Yeah, let me respond to this chick, Christina, because I seen you making questions earlier in the chat room. I am not a Jessica fanboy, okay, but I was intrigued by what I saw.
Sounds like it.
Hush, bitch. Let me get my point across. I'm trying to tell you that I was into Jessica before the season started. She had Janelle upside, and it was looking like it's going to be a very fun time. And then I was totally crushed when she came in the house and hooked up with this whatever. And I hold out hope something that there's something there. Okay, so. Yes, and you know what? She has no one right now, and I'm perpetually rooting for the underdog. So it could be anybody that's sitting there. It just happens to be Jessica.
Okay, so you're going to just will Jessica into being this amazing fan
much,
player.
Yeah.
It's all right. He does it every season.
Just based on the fact you liked her in the preseason, that's where this is all coming from?
I mean, it's just so rare that you get somebody who, like, you think could be the next Janelle. I mean, maybe Alex is the next Janelle.
Yeah, and you
That's
have
the
it
thing.
Right in front of you. The prophecy is real.
It was there the whole time. It's like the Wizard of Oz. No, I think that Alex, more than anything, is the surprise for me, because this is the girl who said she would rather lose the game so she could come back another season. And she also said, Nicole...
Hey, she's on that trajectory to be fan favorite and get brought back. She is doing everything according to plan, and then you can see her next time around.
It's a winding road to get there.
Long and winding road for Alex. Okay, Jacob says, if Jessica's evicted this week and plays against Cody in the battle back, how much of a makeout session will we have to endure? Do you think that they will make out in the battle back?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, did you see him, like, carry her out the door as he was, like, being evicted? It was like they were married. He was carrying her over the threshold.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Well, how does he escalate it? And, you know, when he was leaving the house, he was like, Jessica, will you be my girlfriend? Yeah. Is it going to be a... Jessica, will you marry me?
Yeah, that's a good line. It's a good line. Yeah. Okay, and then let's do a couple more questions. Bridget wants to know about Kevin. Do you think that Kevin could get away with saying that he got the rules mixed up? He thought he was voting out Jillian and Cody. is that doable, Taryn?
You know what? It actually is. I think that's a decent... I think that people are kind of suspicious of him anyway, but I do think that if he, like, a last resort to be like, oh my God, I've been saying their names. I thought that's... You were voting to keep them in the house, right? I mean, just, like, the way he talks to everyone, he's constantly interrupting himself to go on a random tangent. Like, I think that really helps people think that he isn't, like, super deceptive. So I could absolutely see him trying to pull that off and succeed.
He's great. He's really fun to watch. Brent, let's just talk through what's coming up here on the weekend. So this is Friday morning as we're recording this. We should have the nominations come down later on this evening. Is that correct?
Yes, that is what I expect.
Okay. And then we also will have the veto being played tomorrow morning on Saturday. Or the veto people will be drawn Saturday morning, then will be played during the day on Saturday, right?
Right. That's definitely what we expect. And I would also expect Christmas back in the house anytime soon. You know, whenever you want to come back, you are on a game show, by the way.
So much victim noises.
Oh, yeah. Tim Martin wants to know, what's more unfair, Christmas leaving the house for surgery or Paul leaving for Candy Crush? This is a good question, Taryn.
Definitely Paul leaving for Candy Crush. Listen, I heard so much whining on last night's podcast about Christmas leaving the house as if June didn't fly across the country to go to the MTV Music Awards in season four. Like, this is for a very legitimate reason. She is not, like, outside of the house on vacation. She's getting major surgery. This is not, like, a major advantage by any means. And it's not like, oh, what's the line then? What's the slippery slope? Like, she's getting surgery. if she's like out for like a week of surgery, they'll probably boot her from the game.
What are they going to start leaving for dentist appointments?
What are they going to like have somebody who has cancer and they're just going to like leave, like
Taryn,
they get to leave the house constantly
June
for chemo?
Won
like, what?
A prize.
When are they going to stop?
She won guessing the correct answer. Okay. Christmas did something stupid after Big Brother told her not to and has now left the house four times.
Like, nobody's ever roughhoused in the Big Brother house.
Look, I'm just saying that it
June
was.
June leaving because of a prize is a production decision. This was not this was a production reaction. Christmas having to be pulled from
really
the game.
Are you supporting this?
Would, Christmas having to be pulled from the game. Having to be pulled from the game would have had more unnatural impact on the game than her voting remotely, because they would have had to cancel the eviction or do something else that would have impacted the game in very other circumstances.
I'm trying to, because he's sarcastic so much, so I can't tell if he's really saying that or if he's just doing it because all three of us last night were saying that this really sucks. So what's the truth, robot?
I'm telling you, being pulled from the game affects the game much more than her not being pulled from the game.
I mean, I don't think that we're at the where this is like a Celebrity Apprentice type thing where it's like, okay, Vince Neil has some previous obligation. He's not going to be here for this task. He'll be back next week. I think, again, she's having this surgery on her foot. I think that we can send people out for a tune-up here and there. If they're on the block, they're on the block. I think that would be the interesting situation if she was like on the block in this spot, like if it was the previous week and she was forced, like you had to vote on her and she wasn't there and she wasn't able to campaign, but she was really a non-factor in terms of what was going on with this vote. It wasn't a close vote. Everybody knew Cody was going home. So I think I really do think it's fine here, but
it was 7-3. I'm just saying.
Right, she
and
was
also,
on
what's
the,
she going to do?
Three.
Is she going to campaign by phone? I mean, Evil Dick was talking about her getting on a Skype call from the hospital room to try and campaign to people.
It's very clearly a situation where there are extenuating circumstances. All Big Brother is doing everything they can to keep the game as good as it can be. They're trying to not pull her because that would be an unfortunate circumstance. It's a one-off thing. Like, it's the first time this has ever happened. This is no slippery slope. Like, let's calm down. Let's chill out for a second.
Yeah. Although the slopes do get most slippery at Christmas time. So that could be a harbinger of what's to come. All right. So very fun catching up with you guys this morning in terms of what's going on in the house. Hopefully we get some exciting feeds coming up this weekend. Taryn, do you have any preview for us of what's coming up on the weekend live feed show?
We'll be updating you on what's happening on the feeds every day. It'll be a lot of fun. We'll do the Monday roundtable at 8 p.m. Eastern, as always. That'll be also, hopefully Alex will be there for that one.
See, that's a slippery slope, Brent.
See. And I've also got the interview show coming up soon, so keep an eye out for that.
Live feed updates this weekend. Do you have a time lockdown?
Well, I was going to talk to you.
Yeah, let's talk right now. We got 500 people live. So what do you want to do?
Well, have people been enjoying?
I think for the weekday, it's important to be earlier, but I kind of feel like that on the weekend, people aren't getting up at, you know, commuting to work. And I think that more people would want to be involved in live on the weekend. So I feel like that on the weekend, it's better to start it a little bit later in the morning. But, you know, it really comes down to what works for you.
All right. Well, let's do noon Eastern, on the weekends.
Okay.
Yes.
And that'll be right here on the Facebook page. If you're watching this now, you'll have no problem catching it. And so join Taryn and guests over the weekend, Saturday and Sunday at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. And then coming up on Sunday night, Game of Thrones is kicking off. I have a Facebook Live that I'm doing with Josh Wigler today at noon Eastern. I'm sorry, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific on our post-show recaps Facebook page. So be on the lookout for that. And then I'll be live with Stephen Fishback after the Game of Thrones episode, which means that I will be live after the West Coast edition of Big Brother 19 this Sunday night. So don't look for us after the East Coast. We are going to be throning it up, and then we will get to everything going on in Big Brother coming up later on that Sunday night. And of course, that'll all be in your podcast feed. What do you think of that, Brent?
Sounds good. Look forward to it.
This is Rick wants to know, are we wearing matching shirts, Brent? What do you think?
It's strikingly close, I must say. I just kind of grabbed this one. I should have known better than to wear like a checkerboard shirt with Rob on the podcast.
Okay. All right. This is Stephanie is asking, please address how we can stop the buyback next week. We can't. We can't stop the buyback.
It ain't happening.
Here's how you stop the buyback. Okay. Vote somebody into the den of temptation that's not going to take the temptation, Taryn. Is that person on the board?
Maybe Matt. Like, I could see Matt being no, I have to take one for the team.
Is there any cereal in here? Is there any cereal? Can I just give it to Raven? Can I just give it to Raven? Is that okay?
Yeah.
What am I even doing here?
Yeah, just really quickly, I will say that I was glad to see that Jessica was bringing up, she started to game a little bit last night, and she said, you know, there's basically five people, and she listed off Paul, Dominic, Mark, Raven, and Elena.
Hardy, those are the Krista, five people. And Monica.
Right. And then ironically, it was when Elena was up in the room talking to Alex, the people that she wanted to protect were exactly those five people. I'm like, it couldn't even be more obvious. So I do. And she the other thing that Jessica said was that people won't vote out Raven because of her condition. And I was glad that the people were starting to finally talk about it and that they're actually recognizing that, you know, we really can't take her to the end. I'm sorry. It's bugging me that people are saying, let's just take her to the end and give her the money. That's not the show I signed up to cover.
Okay. That won't happen. Right. People are too greedy for that to ultimately.
It's not going
to
happen.
Good.
Okay.
I like greedy.
All right. So good stuff today. Very fun. Hope you guys enjoyed the live feed recap. And if you want more Facebook Live, we got one coming up in about 2 hours and change with Josh Wigler talking about the season 7 premiere of Game of Thrones and what to expect in season 7. We'll take your questions over on Post Show Recaps on our Facebook page, facebook.com/postshowrecaps. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.